Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of John. It's on page 1220 if you want to follow along in your pew Bible. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Thank you.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
Saints, let's pray. Father, blessed be your name. Thank you for speaking to us through the scriptures, not only through the scriptures, Lord, but through the voices and testimonies of men of old. And we thank you especially for the light of the world that came into the world, that lightens our path, lightens our hearts, and leads us upward to you, saves our souls. And we pray now for understanding as we consider the things that we've just heard. We ask you, Father, to strengthen the faith of those who believe, and for any who do not, Lord, may they believe in the testimony that you have sent. I pray in Jesus Christ, amen. All right, well, unfortunately, we were snowed out last week, so it's 2 weeks ago, the last time we were here in John. So you may recall that I mentioned to you that John wrote his gospel for you and me. He says as much at the end of the book in chapter 20. He says these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing that you might have life in his name. This book is for you. He says so. Right? John the author desires that you would be persuaded and believe. And I can go farther than that and say that the Spirit of God desires that you would be persuaded and believe and have life. Right? Something has happened by which men and women can be delivered from darkness and their ignorance of God, which, let's be honest, that's man's problem. We don't know God, right? They don't know God. But man can be delivered from that state, can be illuminated, and come to a knowledge of God, right? You can know God, and you can be delivered from the death penalty and have life that will not end. So John began his book with God and with the Word of God. Right? Before there even were any men or women to know God, before there was anyone even who in existence to even think about such questions, God was. And the Word of God was, right? In the beginning, the Word was, and this one is the one through whom the world was made. He's the one through whom all things were made, and in this one was life, says John. Okay, well, the trouble is the world is in spiritual darkness and is alienated from this life. You know that the world has always been filled with all sorts of made-up gods, right? Men have ideas. Men make guesses. They come up with religions and legends and various tales to explain the world, but, you know, who knows? How could anybody really know if any of them was so? Right? Obviously, though, it's only reasonable to conclude that the world only has one actual history. There is only actual one train of events by which we arrived at today. So how do we know which of these stories? Okay, there's that men are in darkness. Right? The tribes and the nations of mankind are just, well, let's be honest, they have to guess. They have to invent stories. Well, all of the stories cannot be simultaneously right at the same time. So God was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through him, and in him was life, and that life illuminates men and women. Okay? It gives light to them. And John says that light was coming into the world. So if that true light was about to come into the world, which is already so filled with so many ideas and supposed knowledge and wisdom and man's traditions, how are men supposed to be able to tell that this is the true light? You know, people are pretty set in their ways, aren't they? You know, why should I believe this, as John the author desires and wishes that I would do, as opposed to any other thing that I might believe or to the things that I already believe? Okay, you want me to change my mind, sir? You better have some pretty good reasons. So now, how are people persuaded of things that they don't yet know? Right? How do you convince somebody that a thing they didn't know is true? So this brings us to the matter of testimony, right? Witnesses, people who can testify to a thing, right? The law says that a matter is to be established by witnesses and multiple witnesses, and that's not just Israel's law. Okay, that's typical across many cultures. We're not just going to take a man's own word for a thing without any kind of support. Okay, because people can just say whatever they want, and you know, John, you don't just believe everybody just because they say so. Well, John the author is well aware that people require reasons to believe. Okay, in fact, he says, this is why I put this book together. It's to provide you proper reasons to believe so that you can have life. Okay, the true light which lightens every man was coming into the world. How is the world going to know that it's the true light as opposed to some other little campfire, little flickering torch? Okay, so may I present my first witness? He's not going to be the only witness by any means, but he is a very important and, may I say, a very effective witness because he came ahead of time. And this is a point that you must not let get lost on you, that he came ahead of time. Usually, witnesses come after the event, right? I saw this thing, and I want to tell you what I saw. And then the witness comes forward after the event. And that's very effective. Of course, that's how usually cases get settled. But this particular witness is especially effective because he came to tell men what was about to happen. Okay, what was about to happen. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and here we're referring not to John, the author of the book, but to John the Baptist. By the way, the name John, Johanan, means Jehovah is gracious. Amen? I mean, are we about to find out here that Jehovah is gracious? Yes, indeed. Right? And John's father, the angel told John's father, you're going to name the child Johanan, John. Jehovah is gracious. Okay, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light so that all through him might believe. And in this case, him being John the Baptist. Okay, he was not that light. He was not himself the light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, down below, later on in the chapter, we'll have more from John the Baptist as far as his specific testimony. It'll be given in detail a little farther below. But what's important in these verses is that this man was sent in advance of the event. Not to say that the light has come. He is sent to say the light is coming. Now, may I say, already we are on territory that no other religion or tradition can touch. Okay, nobody else can claim a thing like this, namely advance testimony. Okay, you want to talk about Buddhism, you want to talk about Islam, you want to talk about the traditions of your ancestors, whatever they may be. Never was there such an advance witness who came to say something like, well, I am not he, but there is one coming after me who will reveal all, right? Who is the one who to whom all must give allegiance? Therefore, prepare yourselves. Okay, this in every other case, whenever you have had in history some charismatic figure or teacher or philosopher arise and start to expound his teaching, he always has come on his own. Okay, he came without any kind of prior preparation or announcement, and it's always only whatever disciples he manages to make afterwards retroactively say, you know, this is the teacher that we should pay attention to. So, like I said, don't miss this. Only God can do this, right? You would have to be supernatural. You would have to be in control of the world in order to provide testimony beforehand about something that has not yet taken place, right? About a person who has not yet come on the scene. Okay, this man came for a witness to bear witness to the light so that all through him might believe, right? He himself was not the light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. Okay, now it says he was sent so that people might believe. Okay, so that is, if you listen to this man, to John the Baptist, and he tells you in no uncertain terms that there is another coming after me who is greater than I, and then that one does come, you ought to believe in that one. And we can even go a step better than that, and that is that John the Baptist himself was testified of in advance and by multiple advance witnesses. Okay, you let it say a matter has to be established by two or three witnesses. Well, all right, I can do that. So one of the witnesses is Isaiah. Right? Isaiah testifies to him, and this is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, 700 years in advance of John the Baptist. Isaiah writes, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley will be exalted and every mountain and hill laid low. The crooked places will be made straight and the rough places made into a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Jehovah has spoken." Okay, so even the advance witness, John the Baptist, himself was certified in advance. Okay, Malachi also has testimony about him. This is Malachi 3. Now the Lord Almighty says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And then the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming." Right? But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire. Okay, that's 400 years in advance, validating the testimony of John the Baptist before John the Baptist himself even opened his mouth to testify to the one to come after him. You follow me? Did I say that only God can do such a thing? Okay, you have to come to terms with this. God sent John the Baptist as a witness, and God told you at least twice that there would be a forerunner to announce the coming of the light, and then after that, only after that, then the true light which shines upon every man would come into the world. Okay, so you see there's this specific order of events whereby God has certified that this one is his son, his only son, whom he loves. Malachi will say another thing, and that's the very last words of the Old Testament. He says, the Lord says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers and the hearts of the fathers to their children, lest I come and smite the land with a curse." And don't you know, 4 centuries later, there's a priest. He's in the temple. He's offering incense, and an angel comes to him and says, "Zacharias, your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive and bear a son, and you're to give him the name Johanan." Right? God is gracious, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will, just what Malachi said, turn the hearts of many toward the Lord, turn the hearts of children to their fathers, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn many people to the Lord, to make them ready, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord's coming. Okay. Never in the world, never has any religious community or tribe or ancient tradition had anything like this, right? Not just that there'd be a promised one or a chosen one someday, but that the promised one would be preceded by an advance herald to prepare people's hearts for him, to prepare the way. Okay, now John wants you to believe in this one, right? John the author wants you to believe. John the Baptist wants you to believe. I want you to believe. You have very good reasons to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, who are you, John? Are you the anointed one? No, I am not he. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way for the Lord and make him a straight path," as Isaiah said. Okay, are you following along with me on this? How do you convince somebody that something that they didn't know is true? It's by the testimony of witnesses, right? And especially effective is this supernaturally imprinted testimony of a man whose words are, "There is coming someone after me. I am not he, but someone whose sandals I am not even fit to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Okay, so John the Baptist stands at the summit of Old Testament prophecy with all the other prophets behind him, and they themselves have foretold him as the forerunner of God's anointed one. So when John calls men and women to repentance, they ought to listen to him and repent. And when John tells you to prepare for the coming of the light of the world, well, then you should prepare. And when he tells you to wash and cleanse your hearts and break off your sins, then you should wash and cleanse your hearts and break off your sins. For he is coming. His kingdom is near. He has his winnowing fork, his pitchfork, in his hand, and he's ready to clear out his threshing floor, to separate the wheat from the chaff, to gather the wheat into his barn, and to burn the chaff up with unquenchable fire. Right, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be chopped down. Okay, and then when he points and says, "There he is, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world," well, you should turn and look. There is the one about whom God sent me to testify. You should pay attention. Okay, and then finally, when he says, "My task is finished, my joy is fulfilled, he must increase and I must decrease," well, then you should thank John the Baptist for his testimony and then go and follow the one that he directed you to. Okay, do you understand his purpose? He gets people's attention. Okay, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Get ready, he is coming." He gets your attention, but it's only to have for a while. Okay, he only wants your attention to see that you're prepared for the greater one who's coming next. And like any prophet, he has a job to do. Right? He's a witness. He has a testimony from God to deliver, not about himself, right? Not to keep your attention on himself, but to steer your attention towards Jesus Christ. So, for example, there's Andrew. Right? Andrew is someone who John the Baptist got his attention, and he always listened to what John the Baptist had to say and became a disciple of his. But when John points and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," Andrew goes and follows Jesus instead. Not that John's no good anymore, right? But his whole function as a witness is to testify to the light. And many of those who listened to John the Baptist and repented are those who became Jesus' chief disciples and then later the apostles, who themselves would go out and now testify to the rest of the world and begin to change the whole world. So John the author says, "We tell you what we have seen and heard." Okay, I'm giving you my testimony. "We tell you what we have seen and heard so that you also may share in our fellowship, which truly is with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Okay, so John the Baptist is a crucial validating figure in God's program of redemption. Okay, in the wisdom of God, and expressly so that you would have grounds for certainty, he came in advance of the Son of God's own coming. And you see, God intentionally set up the sequence this way so that anybody, any pretender coming and claiming to be the chosen one or the Messiah or whatever he claims, who is not preceded by this advance witness, is immediately ruled out as a counterfeit. Okay, he's disqualified. Because God said, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, and then the Lord will suddenly come." So, to wrap up, 2 points closely follow from this. 2 points. Number one, be persuaded. Okay? Believe John's testimony. There's going to be plenty more testimony, of course, and that's the purpose of this book, right? The author has 21 chapters worth of testimony for you to listen to and be persuaded. Okay, and the fact that John the Baptist came at all in advance of Christ's own ministry certifies that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Right? The Old Testament told you God was going to reveal his Son by this process, and well, here it is. And all 4 gospel writers make an express point of John's advance witness. So if you've ever been skeptical of the teaching about Jesus Christ, you need to grasp how much weight this point bears. Okay, a lot of weight on this. Putting your trust in Jesus Christ does not involve guesswork or risk. Okay, God certified his Son in a way that ought to persuade any reasonable mind. And he didn't have to do it this way, you understand? He could have just sent his son into the world and Jesus could have just appeared and we'd still be responsible for believing on him. But he set this whole sequence up and then carried it out this way so that you and I would have effective, sufficient testimony to be convinced that this one about whom he testifies is in fact the Christ, the Son of God. Okay, that evidence of, you know, if you don't believe, it's not because God has not provided sufficient evidence. Okay, the evidence has been provided. Either you were not aware of the evidence or you're ignoring the evidence. Okay, but don't say that God has not testified clearly enough to his son. Okay, and like I said, John the Baptist isn't the only witness. We'll have 21 chapters worth of testimony to come. So be reasonable, be persuaded. Okay, and then the second thing that follows from this, and this applies to those of you who have come to believe already, be a witness likewise. Okay, think about what John the Baptist did and said and how he acted and what he did. Okay, what does it mean by he came as a witness to that light? Get people's attention and direct their attention to the light of the world, to the Savior. Right, direct people's attention to the true light that gives light to every man who came into the world, and we know he's coming again. Okay, if you have seen that light, and if you have come into the light and have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, then speak up. Okay, capture people's attention and tell them what you know. Be a witness. Right? Don't tell them about your own ideas or your own opinions or about your church or about your minister. Testify about the one in whom life is. Okay? If I am a witness, if I have a testimony, then I give you my testimony not so that you might think that I'm anybody impressive or interesting, but so that you might believe in him through me. Okay? Not believe in me, but believe in him. And that's what every witness ought to do. Okay, Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. Okay, as for ourselves, we are merely his servants for your sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, right? It's God who uttered the word, let there be, right? That God has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, right? The true light has come into the world. Okay, so you Christians, apply what it says here about John the Baptist to your own self. Okay, he himself was not the light, right? He's merely a servant, God's servant, sent to bear witness to that light. Tell people to prepare for the Lord's coming, right? Make a straight path for him. Try to get people's attention in this spiritual wilderness, which is our culture. Hey, be that voice crying out, telling people, turn from your sins, cleanse your hearts, open your heart's door wide to let the Lord in. Okay? Like the carol says, O come to us and abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Okay, you Christians, God has made you likewise a witness so that someone through you might believe. Okay, and you're now standing in the tradition of the prophets. You're part of God's chain of testimony by which he is bringing others by bringing their redemption to completion. I feel like that's quite an honor, don't you? Okay, I have come as a witness to bear witness to the light so that someone might believe through me. Okay, and then when you or I reach the end of our course and we've discharged our testimony with faithfulness, we can say the same thing as John the Baptist said. Okay, if people are turning to Jesus in part because of us, we can say, my joy is complete. Okay, he who is from above, he's above all. Right, I must become less, of course. He must become greater. Right, let every heart prepare him room. Let every tongue exalt his name. Let's praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's praise God our Father for sending him into the world so that we might have life in his name. Abba, Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for the clear testimony that you have given. And we pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, those words, that testimony might take purchase and bring forth life within us, bring forth fruit to your honor and glory. Thank you, dear Father, that we can have confidence and assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ truly has come down from heaven to give life to the world, and that we can trust in him because he laid down his life and he was raised from the dead by the power of God and lives forever and is completely able to save us and to give us all your precious promises. Thank you for our time in your word today, Lord Jesus. Please seal it to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. And I pray in your name, amen.